Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Raymond. Welcome to the men's room.
Happy Positive Friday, gentlemen. Hola.
Positive Friday.
Anyways, I got caught. I got pulled over for a headlight being out going through Oak Ridge, Oregon. And so I was been drinking, got arrested, searched me and everything. And then for some reason, they didn't check my change pocket. And I had 2 grams of hash in there. Yeah, so ended up going into the jail, booked and released. I looked down, and when I was in the back of the cop car, I moved it to the waistband of my underwear. And I was sitting in the holding cell waiting to get released. I looked down, and they were both laying on the ground.
Oh.
Yeah, and this was in, like, the 90s, so, and it was an old little jail, so there was no cameras. It was in convex mirrors. And so I could see them, and I reached down and grabbed it. And I held that in my hand for about another 20 minutes until they released me and didn't get caught, man. It was crazy.
I was going to ask you, man, what is it like being arrested in a small town in Oregon? Is that like Mayberry? I mean, is that look, when you live in the city, you know, you're going to a bigger jail.
And you know what to expect.
Yeah. Right. But when you're in a small town, is it really just like one jail cell and it's you in there?
Oak Ridge, Oregon was like that, absolutely.
Huh.
Because it's right down. They would end up taking you to Eugene if
you're going to go to prison.
Right. All right. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would be surreal. You got one dude.
Oh, it was crazy.
He's booking you. He opens the door. You're the only. And they probably go home for the night.
Yeah. I mean, but
lock the door,
been arrested,
turn off the lights, and you're out.
I would prefer that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, being in jail, yes, you're isolated. All of that sucks. But then when they're like, but you're isolated with guys that will kill you. Like, it's just a
different
feeling,
vibe,
man.
Different vibe.
Yeah, and he's right. I think it just depends on what they're charging you with.
Yeah.
But anything around here, almost always, they're just going to take you to King County.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
So if you're going to commit a crime, word is do it in Pierce County where they have delicious cornbread.
Yeah. I haven't heard about the cornbread in a while. I wonder if they're still pumping it out.
I don't know.
Depends on who's cooking.
But we're talking about people that got out of prison and said, look, the only thing I miss about jail, honest to God, Pierce County specifically, the cornbread was dynamite.
Do you think they pass that cornbread on to the next guy who's coming in there to make it?
I think you would have to.
Is it a staple? Like, is that recipe?
I would think so, because the sense I got from all of those people we talked to, and it was an incredibly high number of people that have done time down there, but they all said, seriously, the cornbread's that good. I think if you want to keep a certain amount of calm,
yeah.
I think you need to keep the cornbread right. going.
I mean, it's like you go into McDonald's. You're going to rob the place. But all you're going to say is, just give me 4 nuggets.
Right.
Why? Why? You don't have money? No. I just want to go back to jail so I can get that cornbread.
Well, yeah. I would also think, too, most trustees that are in the jail that are working,
yeah,
it's not like they started out as cooks.
So it's true.
I'm imagining it's just a standard recipe that's on the wall there.
Follow this recipe.
Right. Follow that recipe.
Jesus. What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
That must be goddamn good, though.
What's that?
Just to spend any amount of time in jail and be like, I miss the corn, or I like the cornbread.
The cornbread. It was great. I mean, like, everyone we talked to was like, dude, seriously, like, you don't want to go to jail, but if you do, make sure it's Pierce County because cornbread's worth it. Like, okay. They need to sell that cornbread at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, instead of you getting incarcerated, what was
the place that sent us cornbread?
Oh, Butter Biscuit.
Butter Biscuit. That was great cornbread.
Yeah.
Are they still around?
Yes, they are. I was there just a couple weeks ago.
Did you get the cornbread?
Yeah. No, I did not get the cornbread. Okay. I got their, chicken and waffle breakfast burrito.
How good was that?
Chicken and waffle breakfast burrito.
So damn
and they threw
good.
It in a burrito.
Is the waffle in the burrito?
Yes.
They put chunks in it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God, dude. It was fantastic.
I mean, that cornbread they brought us, though, was different than any cornbread I ever had. It was like a pancake.
Yes, next
it
level.
Was, but it was a tour de force of
does
cornbread.
Does it have maple syrup on the inside, or do you add
yes.
that? It does.
Yes.
Wow.
Dude, it's great.
What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Now, you don't need to eat for the rest of the day.
I was going to say, it sounds like you need to go back to bed.
Hello, Michelle. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, joints and gents.
Hola.
So back in my tween years, around 1980, my best friend was half Japanese, and when she would come home from Japan in the summer with these yen coins that have the hole in the middle, they're the same size and weight as the quarter. So we would go to town on Miss Pac-Man at the corner store with a couple cents of yen coins.
Okay.
All right. That makes sense.
Did you ever get caught?
We never got caught.
Excellent.
And then in the 90s, I learned if you take tin snips and you give Abe Lincoln's penny a flat top, pop that in the old coin parking meters, it would max out the parking meter.
Oh.
Wait, explain this to me again.
So you take a tin snip to a penny.
All right.
And you cut right along the top of Abe Lincoln's head, like you're giving him a flat top.
All right.
So you have a penny with a flat top. You put that in the old meters, which they don't have anymore. Turn the dial, and that meter would go up to 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Cool.
Why is that? How did you find that out?
You know, I'm not real sure. I think my boyfriend at the time heard it from somewhere, and we thought we'd try it just because we're a bunch of hoodlums, and it worked.
I mean, yeah. Okay. We had similar, basically, tokens were the same at the laundromat as they were the arcade.
The exact same token or same
but
size.
But Wednesdays was double play day at the arcade. So if you went there to play, and I'm in college at this point. So the video game thing was fine. I just knew it was double play days for my high school and junior high years. Same exact tokens. You just go there, and it was not far away. The arcade was right downtown. So we'd go to the arcade, get the tokens, and then go and wash your clothes. Because you just double your money, like you said.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
So the same
thing. So you did it. So I could wash my clothes. Boy, yeah. It's different between college and high school.
Dude, it's
double token night. Well, we can wash our clothes.
Well, they did like on a Wednesday or Tuesday just to get people in there.
Yeah, of course.
It was the busiest day of the week for the arcade. But I would just go there to get the stuff and have all these tokens when I was ready to wash my clothes.
You know how to live, brother.
I'm telling you. What did you get caught doing, or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
I'm with you. I get it. You're college age. I just thought that was going the complete opposite. Like, we played games for hours.
No. I was washing clothes.
It's like we had a guy that called this show probably 18, 19 years ago. And I love what people will admit to, but not the guy you were thinking with the international border. But we had a dude who called and said for years he was counterfeiting money. All right? This is his big brag. He's like, I don't do it anymore. Don't know. We're like, really, man? Like, what denominations? This dumb. Look. If you have the ability to successfully counterfeit money, wouldn't you go for higher bills, like 20?
No.
He did ones. And we're like, you did $1 bills. He's like, me and my boys go down to the strip club. But the whole time he's going on about this, thinking he got over on everybody, I'm like, you have the ability to counterfeit money, and you counterfeited ones.
It's also the last one that you would really check out.
Yeah, because what idiot? You know. Because look, here's the thing. If you get popped by the FBI for counterfeiting money, then you got popped for counterfeiting money. It doesn't matter if it's a $100 bill or a $1 bill. Like I said, if I'm going to go to jail for auto theft, I'm going to steal a Lamborghini, not an AMC Pacer.
But you could get a $100 bill at a mint, you know, like in Denver, right? And they have a gift shop. You go in there, they're still going to check out that money.
Oh, always.
If it's 100.
But that's the thing. And that's the thing with the car thing. It's easier to steal cheaper cars.
It is. But, Ted, you're telling me, all right, and I hear what you're saying, but we have a counterfeit machine, all right? We're going to do this. If I said we're going to do ones, you're not going to try to talk me up like, hey, bro, how about fives?
I would say five and tens, but I'm with Miles. I wouldn't do anything 20 and above.
Because they do check.
Because they check it every time.
I did have a guy check a $10 bill once. And
damn.
Well, it was just a regular store. I handed it to him, and he did like the marker thing. And I was like, bro, if I'm going to counterfeit money, it'll be higher than 10. I know, man, but I got
to
check.
I think the most awkward thing is when that cashier tries to give you like that Canadian quarter. Or a 50-cent piece. It's like, nah. I'm not getting stuck with this.
Yes. No, man.
But you know you're going to get it if the person in front of you in line pays with it. They pay with a $2 bill and a 50-cent piece, and you're like, God damn it, that's going to be my change.
I've got a bag of Canadian money, and I've got a bag of Mexican money.
Me too.
And it's just sitting there. And I never remember to bring it whenever I go to either one of those two countries.
Oh, I do. I absolutely do. Okay. Oh, yeah. We got the Mexican money pile, so when we go to Mexico, we grab that. It's just a good start. So you don't have to go to the exchange at the airport, which, by the way, do not do your exchange at an airport. It's always much higher.
I've done it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Take the little bit of cash you have, just enough to get a cab to your hotel.
You'd be surprised how far just a U.S. $1 bill goes. They'd almost rather have that.
Brother, I will say when I'm in Mexico, if you anytime I need a favor from a local, if I pop out a 10 spot, they're like, on it.
Anytime I go to Vancouver, Victoria, they'll take U.S. currency.
Yeah,
they have
absolutely.
No problem with that. What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Hey, howdy, neighbor. You ever seen this? It's a paper dollar. I'm going to get thrown out of Canada.
Yeah, we know.
So you don't take this up here in the 51st state?
Throw that in your loony bin.
Yeah, exactly. Anyhow, your beer sucks.
Hello, Chucky. Welcome to the men's room.
Not that bad.
That's great.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Chucky, oh, either. Yeah. Hola.
Hola.
So, speaking of money, back when I used to be in California, I was in high school. I was in the ROTC program. And you know how they have those boxes of chocolates that you have to sell for fundraising and stuff?
Yep. Yeah, world's finest.
What is that, $2 candy bar, I believe?
It was $1, and in okay. the box comes $50. So, my ROTC program, they had this little contest where whoever sells the most gets a medal and a ribbon to put on our uniform. So I started selling chocolates every day by Safeway and stuff like that. And my buddy, he was selling it too, but he was beating me. So what I did, my parents, they owned a hotel. So what I used to do, I used to go into the cash register, take out $50 bill, pretended I sold it, and I would go to my master chief, give him, you know, the $50, and he would give me another box of chocolate. I did this for a really long time, and then,
were you eating the chocolate?
No, I was not. I was selling it here and there, but, you know, I couldn't sell them fast enough.
Okay.
Because I, you know, so I started stealing $50 bills and giving it to my master chief, and everybody's like, man, this guy is, you know, doing so good, blah, blah, blah. And then I heard my dad telling my mom, like, hey, you know, I don't know why we are always short $50. So my dad started taking $50 from his own pocket and, you know, replacing it. So this went on for like a month. And later on, they put a camera.
Oh.
They put a camera in the office. And I started to put the sticky note on the camera lens. And, you know, I still took out money. And one day I was reaching up to take off the sticky note and my dad walked in. He figured out what was going on and I got the whooping of my life.
Yeah, but did you get the medal?
I did get the medal.
All right, Mission accomplished. Mission accomplished.
Not having your homework done is bad enough, but God, when you had to turn back in those boxes of chocolate and you haven't sold them, but you've eaten some.
God, no, man.
Did your brother get the box stolen?
My brother went to a Catholic university.
Yeah.
He was selling his chocolate bars there. He got stolen and robbed. And then Bernie, you fast forward about 10 years later, same metro stop. And they, the guy came by and said, give me a chocolate. You know, Bernie. F you, I'm not giving yes. Guy came back with a gun, said, I'll take your money and the chocolate.
Oh.
Same metro stop. They both got robbed.
What did you get caught doing or what did you not get caught doing? 206-803-ROCK.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.